Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rei Ram Goldar, and today Mezekos Yuma Daf Mem Dal, the fourth parak Tarfa Kalpi. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brought a brisa that introduced a prohibition against someone occupying the heichal while the ketores is being burned, based on the pasuk "V'chol Adam lo yeh ba'ohel moed," and no person shall be in the ohel moed, referring to when the kohen gadol enters the kodesh kodashim. The brisa brings additional sources to prove that this prohibition applies during the times of the Beis HaMikdash and includes the time when he brings the blood applications and applies while he's entering the Kodesh Kodashim and exiting from it. The Gemara brings a Mishnah from Kelim that states, "Porshin mibein ha'ulam v'gumizbeach b'shas haktara." We must separate from the area between the ulam and the mizbeach during the time of the burning of the ketores. This refers to the twice daily burning of the ketores in the heicha. Rabbi Elazar said that Rabban only taught this law in regards to the time of burning the ketores in the heicha. The Rabbanim fear that one standing there might unthinkingly enter the Heichal during that time, which is forbidden in the Raisa. But regarding the time of burning the Ketores in the Kodesh Kodashim, we must separate from the Heichal, but there's no need to separate from the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Rashi explains that the Kodesh Kodashim is relatively distant from the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Rabbanim were not fearful that one's awareness of burning the Ketores in the Kodesh Kodashim will move someone to enter the Heichal. Point number two, the Gemara asks if the burning the Ketores actually atones, and answers that it does. For Rabbi Hananya taught a brisa, which stated that we've learned the Ketores is mecheperes, as it says in the pasuk regarding the aftermath of Korach's rebellion. V'yitenes Ketores v'yechaper la'am, and he, referring to Aaron, placed Ketores and atoned for the people. And a brisa was taught in Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, "Amah Ketores mecheperes." Well, what does Ketores atone? Al lashon hara, for the sin of lashon hara. This refers to the people accusing Moshe and Aaron for being responsible for the death of Korach and his followers. Yavod davish b'chashai v'chapra ma'isa chashai. But something that's offered in private, meaning the Ketores, atone for an act committed in private, referring to the Lashon Hara. Rashi explains that Lashon Hara is generally spoken in private, even though in this specific instance, it was said publicly. Point number three, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel Beis say that every day of the year, the kohen would scoop up the coals with a silver shovel and then pour the coals into a gold shovel. The Gemara explains the reason for the two shovels is HaTorah Chasa, a Mamon Moshe Yisrael. The Torah was concerned for the Jewish people's money. Rashi explains that we too must be concerned for it, and therefore we don't use a gold shovel for scooping up the coals, lest it become ruined. The Mishnah continues, "V'hayom chosu b'shal zahav uvahaya machnis." But today, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol scoops him up with a gold shovel, and with it he brings him in. The Gemara says the reason is mishum choshu the Kohen Gadol, because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. Rashi explains that we fear the extra effort of pouring from one shovel to the next will exhaust him. So once again, the three topics are: number one, the Gemara brought a brisa that introduced the prohibition against someone occupying the heichal while the ketores is being burned, based on the pasuk "V'chol Adam lo yeh ba'ohel moed," and no person shall be in the ohel moed, referring to when the kohen gadol enters the kodesh kodashim. The brisa brings additional sources to prove that this prohibition applies during the times of the Beis HaMikdash and includes the time when he brings the blood applications and applies while he's entering the kodesh kodashim and exiting from it. The Gemara brings a mission from Kelim that states, "Porshin mibein ha'ulam v'lumizbeach b'shas haktara." We must separate from the air between the ulam and the mizbeach during the time of the burning of the ketores. This refers to the twice daily burning of the ketores in the heichal. Rabbi Elazar said that the Rabbanan only taught this law in regards to the time of burning the ketores in the heichal. The Rabbanan feared that one standing there might unthinkingly enter the heichal during that time, which is forbidden in the Raisa. But regarding the time of burning the ketores in the kodesh kodashim, we must separate from the heichal, but there isn't a need to separate from the area between the ulam and the mizbeach. Rashi explains that the kodesh kodashim is relatively distant from the space between the ulam and the mizbeach, and the rabbanim weren't fearful that one's awareness of burning the ketores in the kodesh kodashim will move someone to enter the heichal. Point number two, the Gemara asks if burning the ketores actually atones, and answers that it does. For Rabbi Hananya taught a brisa, which stated that we've learned the ketores mecheperes, as it says in the pasuk regarding the aftermath of Korach's rebellion. V'yitenes ketores v'yechaper la'am, and he, referring to Aaron, placed the ketores and atoned for the people. And a brisa was taught in Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, "Amah ketores mecheperes," for what does ketores atone? Al lashon hara, for the sin of lashon hara. This refers to the people accusing Moshe and Aaron for being responsible for the death of Korach and his followers. Yavod davish b'chashai v'yechaper ma'isa chashai. Let something that is offered in private, referring to the ketores, atone for an act committed in private, which is lashon hara. Rashi explains that lashon hara is generally spoken in private, even though in this specific instance it was said publicly. Point number three, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis state that every day the kohen would scoop up the coals with a silver shovel and then pour the coals into a gold shovel. The Gemara explains the reason for the two shovels is HaTorah Chasa Mamon Moshe Yisrael. The Torah was concerned for the Jewish people's money. Rashi explains that we too must be concerned for it, and therefore we don't use a gold shovel for scooping up the coals, lest it become ruined. The mission continues by Yom Chos B'Shal Zahav Uvahya Machnis. But today, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol scoops them up with a gold shovel, and with it, the gold shovel, he brings them in. The Gemara says the reason is Mishum Chosh of the Kohen Gadol, because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. Rashi explains that we fear that the extra effort of pouring from one shovel to the next will exhaust them. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Mem Dalet, and our standard simmon is mud. Mud. So here goes. Holy mud was placed outside the Heichol, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores, that is Mechaperes for Lashon Hara, in on the golden shovel he used to scoop the coals. Once again, in slow motion. Holy mud, mud. That must be more in Daf Mem Dalet. Holy mud was placed outside the Heichol, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores, which reminds the Gemara brought a brisa that introduced a prohibition against someone occupying the Heichol while the Ketores is being burned, based on the pasuk Chol Adam Uhiyeh Bo'ohel Moed, no person shall be in the Ohel Moed, referring to when the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Gemara brings a mission from Kelim that states that we must separate from the air between the Ulam and the Mizbeach during the time of the burning of the Ketores. Now this refers to the twice daily burning of the Ketores in the Heichol. Rabbi Elazar said the Rabban only taught this law in regard to the burning of the Ketores in the Heichol. The Rabban feared that one standing there might unthinkingly enter the Heichol during that time, which is forbidden in the Raisa. But regarding the time of burning the Ketores in the Kodesh Kedoshim, we must separate from the Heichol, but there's no need to separate from the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Rashi explains that the Kodesh Kedoshim is relatively distant from the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Rabban were not fearful that one's awareness of burning the Ketores in the Kodesh Kedoshim will move someone to enter the Heichol. So, holy mud was placed outside the Heichol, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores. That is Mechaperes for Lashon Hara, which reminds us. The Gemara asks if burning the Ketores actually atones, and answers that it does, Rabbi Chananya taught a brisa, which state that we've learned the Ketores is Mechaperes, as it says in the pasuk regarding the aftermath of Korach's rebellion, V'yitenes Ketores V'yichaper al'am, and he, Aaron, placed the Ketores and atoned for the people. And a brisa was taught in Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, Amal Ketores Mechaperes, what does the Ketores atone? Al Lashon Hara, for the sin of Lashon Hara. This refers to the people accusing Moshe and Aaron for being responsible for the death of Korach and his followers. Yavo davar shebechashai v'chapra ma'isa chashai. Let something that is offered in private, the Ketores, atone for an act committed in private, referring to the Lashon Hara. Rashi explains that Lashon Hara is generally spoken in private, even though in this specific instance, it was said publicly. So holy mud was placed outside the Heichol, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores, that is mechaperes for Lashon Hara, in on the golden shovel he used to scoop the coals. Which reminds the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bei stated that every day the Kohen would scoop up the coals with a silver shovel and then pour the coals into a gold shovel. The Gemara explains the reason for the two shovels is that Torah Chasa Mamon Shi Yisrael. The Torah was concerned with the Jewish people's money. Rashi explains that we too must be concerned for it, and therefore we do not use a gold shovel for scooping up the coals, lest it become ruined. The Mishnah continues by Yom Chos B'Shal Zahav Uvahya Machnis. But today on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol scoops them up with a gold shovel, and with it he brings them in. The Gemara says the reason is Mishum Chosh of the Kohen Gadol. It's because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. Rashi explains that we fear that the extra effort of pouring from one shovel to the next will exhaust him. So once again, holy mud was placed outside the Heichol, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores, that is Mechaperes for Lashon Hara, in on the golden shovel he used to scoop the coals. All right, now it's time for a four-block back Chazara. Daf Mem, so the Simmer Daf Mem is a pool. So here goes. The pool race, that must mean we're on Daf Mem. The pool race was a disaster when an argument broke out whether a law was essential to decide who gets the coveted right lane. Which reminds us, the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis introduced a machlokas whether drawing the lots for the two of Seirim is essential. Rabbi Yanai said, Ali is Gorah Matok Kalpi Ma'akevas, Hanacha Eina Ma'akevas. The drawing of the lot from the Kalpi is essential for the Yom Kippur Avoda, but placing the lot on the appropriate goat isn't essential. Rabbi Yochanan said, Afaliyah Eina Ma'akevas, even drawing the lots is not essential. According to the second interpretation of the Machlokas, they disagree with respect to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that any avoda done in the Big Day Lavan outside the Kodesh Kedoshim is not essential. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is obviously congruent with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yanai, who holds that the drawing of lots is essential, would say that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is not a contradiction to this, as the lacha is different with regard to drawing lots, because the words Asher Allah, which came up, is mentioned two times, indicating that it's essential. The Gemara attempts to bring a proof against Rabbi Yanai from a brisa that states, V'seira in ma'akev is a part. If the avoda was done out of order, neglect a part of the avoda of the seer does not invalidate the avoda of the par that was improperly done before it. The Gemara suggests that the avoda of the seer that was not done in order was the drawing of lots, and yet the service is not invalidated. This would seem to prove that the drawing of lots is not essential. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying that the time of the brisa was Rabbi Shimon, holds that drawing the lots are not essential. Alternatively, the Tanna could be Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that although the drawing of lots in order is not essential, the basic drawing of lots is essential. So the pool race was a disaster when an argument broke out whether a lot was essential to decide who gets the coveted right lane. And when the head counselor switched the starting gun from his left to right hand, which reminds us, the Gemara tends to prove that all Tanaim agree that the lottery is not essential, but more bright, where Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim asked them what the din is if the lot for Hashem came up in the Kohen Gadol's left hand. Is he allowed to change it to his right hand, since that's an auspicious sign that the Jewish people will be forgiven? Rabbi Kiva answered, don't give the Tzedukim a basis to dominate. Rashi explains that Tzedukim will use this to support their claim that the Chamim formulate the law according to their own whims. The Gemara suggests from this that if not for this concern, switching hands would be permissible, implying that drawing lots is not essential. If it were essential, the left-hand goat would be determined to be the one for Hashem. The Gemara rejects this proof by reinterpreting the Talmudim's question to be that in a case where the lottery came up in the left hand, would it be permissible to switch the lottery to the right hand and switch the left-hand goat to the right side? So the pool race was a disaster when an argument broke out whether a lot was essential to decide who gets the coveted right lane. And when the head counselor switched the starting gun from his left to right hand, the camp prankster put a sticker on him, officially designating him as a chatas. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a conclusive proof that Rabbi Yehuda holds the drawing of lots to be essential. It was stated in the Sifra that the pasuk says in reference to the lots, Vasau chatas, and it shall make it, referring to the seer that the lot for Hashem fell upon, into a chatas. Hagora aseo chatas, ve'en Hashem aseo chatas. Only the lot makes the goat a chatas, but verbally designating the goat with the name chatas does not make the seer a chatas. Rashi explains that merely declaring the seer to be a chatas without the drawing of lots doesn't invest the seer with the status of a chatas. Since Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, anonymous prices in the Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, this proves conclusively that he holds that drawing lots is essential.
Daf Mem Aleph. So the Zimmer Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes.
The grandma, grandma. That must mean we're on Daf Mem Aleph. The grandma who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them. Which reminds, Rav Chisda said that kings do not assume their respective designations of either Chatas and Ola except at the time the owner's taking them to be offerings or at the time the Kohen's actual making of the offerings. Rashi explains that if the owner specifies at the time of taking them, then the designations become irrevocably fixed. Should the Kohen then reverse them, the offerings become puzzle. If he didn't designate them at that time, then even if he attempts to do so later, they remain legally undesignated, and the Kohen may offer either one as the Chatas and the other one as the Ola. Rav Shim Rashi said that Rav Chisda's reasoning is based on the pasuk regarding kinim, v'lakcha ba'asa, and he shall take, and the Kohen shall make. So we derive from here that kinim become designated, o b'lakicha o b'asiya, either the owner is taking or at the Kohen is making of the offerings. The Gemara attempts twice to challenge Rav Chisda's rule to prove that the kinim can be designated in between the taking and the actual offering, but is unsuccessful. So the grandma who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said in the Rav Hoshea that a wealthy person who made the temple tummy and then brought the offering of a poor person, meaning kinim, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Rabbi Chaga says in the Rav Hoshea that he has fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Chaga's position based on the Mishnah Gan that states that if a poor Metzora brought the offering of a wealthy person, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, whereas if a wealthy Metzora brought the offering of a poor person, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara answers that the case of a Metzora is different, for it's written in that section, Zos. This shall be the law of the Metzora. The restrictive word, the Zos, teaches that the Metzora may bring only those offerings specifically prescribed for him. When the Gemara challenges his answer based on the first case, where the poor Metzora does fulfill his chiyuv when he brings the wealthy person's offering, it answers that the inclusive expression, Toras, the law of the Metzora, teaches that there is one law for the poor and wealthy Metzora. Both may fulfill their chiyuv with the wealthy person's offering. So the grandma, who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them, didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them, because she was busy trying to knit one strip of red wool with the minimum shear. Which reminds us, Rav Yitzchak said that he heard from his teachers a distinction that between the two strips of red wool, one for the paraduma and one for the seer hamishtaleach, that only one requires a minimum shear, but he couldn't remember which one. Rav Yosef said it seemed more reasonable that the seer hamishtaleach requires the minimum shear, the boy chalukah, since it requires division into two parts, as Rashi explains, half tied to the goat's head and half tied to the rock. When Rami Bar Chama objected, saying the paraduma also requires a minimum shear because it must have weight, as Rashi explains, it must be heavy enough to plummet into the flame. Rami answered, saying that it's a malchus tanaim whether it requires weight, and Rabbi Yosef falls the view that it does not.
Daf Mem Beis. So the Simmer Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes.
The non-Cohen mobster. Mobster, that must be one Daf Mem Beis. The non-Cohen mobster who was thrilled that he was able to shecht the paraduma, which reminds us, the Rav Yitzchak said that he heard from his teachers the distinction between two shechitas
That of the Parah Duma and that of the Parah of the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur were one of the kosher done by Azar and the other is not, but he didn't know which one was valid. After the Gemara clarifies that Rav holds that the Parah Duma is possible if it's shechted by Azar, and Shmuel holds that it's the Kohen Gadol's part that becomes possible, the Gemara challenges each opinion since they use similar words in the Psukim to support their rulings. The Gemara challenges Shmuel as to why he holds the Parah Duma is kosher if the Shechita is done by Azar, and answers that in the case of the Parah Duma, the Pasuk states, V'shachut osa lefanav, and he shall slaughter it in front of him, referring to Elazar. So this implies Zar shochet v'lazer roa, that a zar shechts the Parah Duma while Lazar watches. According to Rav, who holds that Lazar was the one who shechted the Parah Duma, the pasuk means shol yisiach daito mimena, that Lazar, who's the one shechting the Parah Duma, shall not divert his attention from it. Rush explains that he must constantly guard it from two and other disqualifications. Shmuel learns this then from a different part of the pasuk. So the non-Kohen mobster, who was thrilled that he was able to shecht the Parah Duma, became enraged when he was told the par is now puzzle because he's no more qualified than a woman. Which reminds the Gemara brings a support for Rav that a par duma shechted by Zar is puzzle from a brisa which teaches that just as a woman may not do the sprinkling of the par duma, she can't do the shechita as well as the other avodas of the par duma. So this implies that just as a woman cannot do the shechita, similarly a Zar may not do the shechita. The Gemara challenges this given that a woman may not do the hazah, but a Zar can. So perhaps a woman cannot do the shechita, but a Zar can. Abai answered that the reason the Braisa disqualifies a woman from the Shechita of the Parah Duma is from the fact that Pasuk identified Elazar with the Shechita and not a woman. Similarly, with regard to Azar, we may say Elazar is specified and not Azar. So the non-Kohen mobster, who was thrilled he was able to shecht the Parah Duma, became enraged when he was told the Parah is now puzzle because he's no more qualified than a woman and that even his donkey can't walk out with the Parah Duma. Which reminds us, Ula did an extensive examination of the Psukim from the Parsha Parah Duma. As part of his analysis, he says, the Pasuk states, V'hotzi osa, he shall take it out to the outside of the camp, which teaches Shul Yotzi Acheres Ima, that he shall not take another cow with it. As it was learned in the Mishnah Parah, if the Parah Duma did not want to go out, we don't take a black one with it, so people should not say they shechted the black one for the Avoda. And they don't take out even a red one with it, so the people shouldn't say they shechted the two of them. Rashi explains that the shechita of the second one together with the first one would constitute an accompanying different activity which would invalidate the par shechita. Revi says this is not the reason, but rather because the pasuk says, Osa levada, he shall take it out, which implies it alone. The Tanakhama didn't learn this Rashi as Revi Shimon. It was Darsh, time of the cry. He expounds the rationale of the pasuk. The nafkamina between them is taking out a donkey with the cow. According to the Tanakhama, it's permitted since the rationale doesn't apply, whereas according to Rebbe, it's forbidden since the Parah Duma is not being taken out alone. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The woman placing the ashes of the Parah Duma outside the camp found a How to Be Machaper magazine. Magazine? That must be more in Daf Mem Gimel. The woman placing the ashes of the Parah Duma outside the camp, which reminds us that Ula continues expanding the psukim about the Parah Duma. The pasuk states, Va'asav ish tahor es efar par v'niach, and a man who is tahor shall gather the ash of the cow, and he shall place it outside the camp in a tahor place. Ish l'hakshir sa'zar, the specification of man comes to qualify as zar for this procedure. Tahor l'hakshir sa'isha, the specification of tahor comes to qualify a woman for it. Rashi explains that there's no need to teach that a tamei may not gather the ashes. So the woman placing the ashes of the Parah Duma outside the camp found a How to Be a Machaper magazine with a picture of a Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, which reminds the Mishnah state the Kohen Gadol then comes to the bowl a second time and confesses. The Gemara asks, why is it different that in the case of the first vidui that he doesn't say Ubnei Aaron Am Kodeshecha, and in the second vidui he says it? The Gemara brings a braisa that was taught in the Yeshiva of Yishmael to answer the question. Midas din no senes, logic dictates, mutav yavo zakav yechapra al-chaya, better that an innocent one should come to gain kapara for the guilty one, va'al yavo chaya v'yechapra al-chaya, rather than a guilty one should come to gain kapara for the guilty one. So the woman placing the ashes of the Parah Duma outside the camp found a How to Be Machaper magazine with a picture of a Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, comfortably walking down the center of the Mizbeach ramp. Which reminds the next Mishnah says, every day Kohanim ascend the Mizbeach on the eastern side of the ramp and descend on his western side. Rashi explains that the Lach requires the one who ascends the Mizbeach to turn towards the right at the top. If the Kohen would climb up the left side of the ramp, he would need to cross the ramp at the top, and that would be unseemly to needlessly cross the ramp. The Mishnah continues, V'hayom Kohen Gadol o be'emsa v'yor be'emsa, but today the Kohen Gadol ascends the center of the ramp and descends in the center. Rashi explains that each time the Kohen Gadol ascends the Mizbeach, he ascends and descends in the center of the ramp. He thus traverses the entire width of the ramp on each ascent, whether he needs to or not. This display of familiarity demonstrates to Kodesh Baruch Hu's great love for the Jewish people. The reason the Kohen Gadol is permitted to cross the ramp for no purpose is because he's the Jewish people's shaliach. His act is symbolic of the unique relationship between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. Rav Yehuda says the Kohen Gadol always ascends and descends in the center. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn that Ketores is Mechaperis on Lashon Hara? That's on Duff. Memdod. Good number 2. Which stuff do you learn Mutav Yamuzachav Yechapra Al Chayev? That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good number 3. Which stuff do you learn about all the positive signs that occurred during the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was Kohen Gadol? That's on Duff. Lamentes. Good number 4. Which stuff do you learn the Kohen Gadol scoops the coals with a gold machte and brings it into the Kodesh Kedoshim? That's on Duff. Memdod. Good number 5. Which stuff do you learn the Kohen Gadol ascends and descends the middle of the ramp in Yom Kippurim? And Rav Yehuda says he does this the rest of the year as well. That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good number 6. Which stuff do you learn it's the drawing of lots that makes the seer into a chattas? That's on Duff. Mem. Good number 7. Which stuff do you learn the Rav Chissa said kinim are either designated at the time of taking or at the time of being offered? That's on Duff. Mem off. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we discuss whether a wealthy person can bring a poor person's offering? That's on Duff. Memov. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn there's a prohibition for one to enter the Heichol when the Kohen Gadol is bringing the Ketores into the Kodesh Kedoshim? That's on Duff. Memdod. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we learn a Zar and woman are permitted to carry the ashes of the Paradum outside to the Tahor place? That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Excellent. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn the Rabban where God said that there is no me'il on the ashes of the Paraduma when they saw people weren't using them anymore for medicinal purposes? That's on Duff. Chafal and Shkalim. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn one should not walk alone on Tuesday and Friday nights? That's on Duff. Kufyud Basim Psachim. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do you learn when can residents in a town besieged by Nachum go out with their weapons to fight? That's on Duff. Mem Hei Nerevin. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.